Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
6 o'clock Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. And of course, we're riding with the King, as always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. Howard, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm just absolutely terrific. I love cold weather.
Do you? No, I don't. I'm done with it. I'm ready for spring here, Howard.
I'm being sarcastic. Yeah, it's just...
Actually, today wasn't as bad. It's warming up a little bit today, tomorrow. The last couple of weeks have been pretty cold.
Yeah, it's just, you know, when I walk, it doesn't make any difference. But, you know, we're moving forward, you know, and golf season will start. All these spring sports will start. You know, the thing that I'll miss is there won't be mini camps. I mean, I think the commissioner pretty much said that at the Super Bowl during his news conference. So I'll miss that a little bit so we can whine again about what's going to happen with the quarterback.
That's what we do around here, of course.
I know. The Eagles might be the quarterback factory. We at WIP are the quarterback station.
That's right. You know what? If we're going to have a factory in town, we're going to cover that factory and talk about it.
I know.
And make sure everyone knows how the assembly line is doing. All right, Howard, so we haven't had a chance to speak. It's no surprise what happened last Thursday. The Eagles trade Carson Wentz to the Colts. Yeah. That always seemed like the logical destination. What did you think of the return? I thought, all things considered, they got a good return.
Yeah, but you thought, when you say that, didn't you think they'd get a number one pick?
Well, I mean, in essence, they did get a number one pick.
Well, maybe, assuming he doesn't get hurt.
Yeah, I would say, what percentage would you put on it? 70%? Yeah, 65-70%, it's going to be a number one pick?
I'd say it's above 50%. Yeah. You'll get a number one pick a year from now, but you wanted that number one pick this year. The return is what his value was.
Yeah.
His value was a third and a second that could turn into a first, but that was his value. Everybody, all this nonsense with, multiple first-round picks.
Yeah, that was nonsense. Total nonsense.
And a blockbuster deal, all that Adam Schefter nonsense, which fed to him, and, oh, yeah, this is going to be a blockbuster deal. I mean, give me a break. And just like, you know, I heard – now, those guys talk about Russell Wilson, and now the Seahawks are putting out three number ones. Three number ones for a guy that's at the end of his career? How many years does he have left? He's been hit a ton of times, but that's what the teams do. I don't think Russell Wilson's going to get value if they trade him either. But I don't want to digress into that. But I thought they got what he was worth. So... I never thought that they were going to get much more than that. I thought they got what he was worth. So that's the way I look at that.
Well, I do too. And I think for all parties, Howard, it's a good deal, and the Eagles can now move on to whatever this franchise is going to be. And now, for at least this moment in time, Howard, Jalen Hurts stands atop the depth chart as the Eagles quarterback. And I'm fine with that. Like, Howard, what we saw at the end of last season, I was impressed. I wasn't blown away. I'm not trying to say he's the quarterback for the next 10 years here. But I liked what I saw, and I am okay with giving this kid a shot to be the quarterback next season.
Well, what did you like? I'm trying to figure out what you – did you like the first two games and the last two games?
Well, mostly the first two games.
Okay. And then when they started getting tape on him and they saw he tried to run around the edges and they closed that down and they – you don't, right, with quarterbacks like that, you don't blitz, you don't let him get around the edges, you might have a spy, but you want him to pass. And that's where I question it. Now, did he create some excitement?
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. Was he able to pick out secondary receivers and go through his progressions? Now, apparently, from what we saw, he was not. And all this Twitter nonsense, where you see video of, and everybody tweeting out, oh, look at Jalen Hurts is already working out. He's throwing deep to one guy who is not even covered, and that's supposed to impress people?
Well, I think
he's got a great arm.
Sure. Yeah. I think it's more that he's putting in the work, right? There's only so much
work. He's got nothing to do, so he goes out and throws a football around.
But good. I mean, but that's been the story of his career. When he first got to Alabama, I didn't even think he was much of a quarterback. I mean, he's improved a lot from where he was, 4 years ago, and I think that's the whole idea, that he's probably going to keep improving because that's what he seems to do. He gets better.
Well, that's what Carson Wentz did. He brought guys to wherever it was that he had them come out and work out together. They all do the same thing. And I shouldn't say they all. A lot of quarterbacks do the same thing.
As they should, right? It's their job.
Yeah,
they should get
it's
better.
It's their job. Yeah, but okay, so he's going out and throwing a football deep to a guy wide open. I'm not impressed. I need to see him be able to go through the progressions. And there's a question there. Does he have skills? Yeah, he's got skills. He's got a strong arm. But when you look at his numbers, he was at the bottom of the league just like Carson Wentz for quarterbacks
that
threw 100 or more passes.
Yeah, but to be fair, he's a rookie at 21 years old, 22
right.
years old. It's different than a veteran who should not be there.
I get it. Carson Wentz, that was awful.
Yeah.
That was just totally awful. But he still was at the bottom of the league. So for all that, everybody's excited because it generated a new energy. I've always said this, the backup quarterback is always the favorite until he's the starter.
Yeah, but it's not like he didn't do it. I mean, it wasn't just energy. I mean, his first two starts, he had 500 yards passing, 150 yards rushing. I mean, that doesn't happen very often. It wasn't like he was just like, oh, they're just winning these games 17-14, or, he's managing the game. He was putting up significant numbers those first two games. That's what I take away the most from the season. Like, of the four games he played, those first two, we were all impressed after those. It wasn't perfect. He made some mistakes, fumbled through an interception against Arizona, but there was something there that's like, wow, this is interesting. This is not just, oh, he's just there and he's okay. He was making real plays out there.
So you want to eliminate the last two games and say that they didn't exist.
Well, I don't even think it's two games. Like, the first half in Dallas, he was good. The second half, he wasn't. He had too many turnovers. And the Washington game was I don't even know what you do with that, Howard. He got to play three quarters. He ran two touchdowns in. Obviously, wasn't throwing the ball well.
And he had 72 yards passing.
Yeah, but on 20 attempts, like, he was 7 of 20. It wasn't like we didn't get to see the full game.
Okay, well, I saw one pass that sticks in my mind.
Interception the
wide open receiver in the end zone that he bounced.
Oh, he missed his last pass. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. So, again, I everybody hopes that he's the guy, but if people ever put a label of franchise quarterback on him, then they're bringing.
Well, I think he certainly can be a franchise quarterback. Why not?
Well, so can anybody.
Well, that's not true. I mean, like, Nate Sudfeld can't be a franchise quarterback.
Well, wait a minute. Mitch Trubisky could have been a franchise quarterback.
Absolutely.
How did that turn out?
Well, it didn't. Well, that's okay. But obviously, I mean, most of these guys don't turn into franchise quarterbacks, but any of them could be. But this is what they have right now, Howard.
They're right.
Unless they're planning to go and take one in the top six pick, he's their quarterback right now. So do you think we're headed that way? Do you think a guy with a six pick or maybe trading up, do you think that's a real possibility now?
Yeah, I do. I do. I think because they're a quarterback factory, and so the fact that they're a quarterback factory, why not get as many as you can? And you need more than one part to put it together. So,
maybe three. Let's get one in the first round and the second round this year.
Yeah, why not? Why not? So it would not surprise me a little that somewhere with that six pick or moving down, or I don't want them to give up picks, but and I would prefer them not take a quarterback and then wait till next year, because if he's not good enough, then you'll be able to get a quarterback most likely, because you won't be good enough and you'll have a decent high draft pick. So the only thing that works against him, this is kind of interesting, I'm using the reverse. It works against them that they're in one of the worst divisions in football, so their record can't be really brutal.
Yeah, I think people are going too far with how bad they'll be next year. Like, I think it's pretty clear they're not going to be a true contender next season. But I don't think they're going to go 3-13 or 3.
No.
Maybe, I guess, 3-14 because we're going to have 17 games next year. But I don't think they're going to be that bad next season.
No, I don't think they'll be that bad. But, boy, there's so many questions. You know, what's the offensive line like? Are the players that were injured going to come back and be okay? Is Jason Kelce going to come back and be okay, or is he going to retire? So there's so many. Is Jordan Mailata going to be good enough? Is Andre Dillard going to be a mistake as a first-round pick?
Is he not a stiff, or is he a stiff? That's what we have to find out.
Right, yes. That is correct. So there's so many things. And, you know, they obviously need some help in the secondary. So there's so many things that have to be done. And everybody just wants free agency, free agency, free. You got to draft players to build a team. It just doesn't happen with free agency. You're getting Band-Aids in a lot of cases with free agency. So they'll probably get a couple players for 1 year who, because of the salary cap, there's not as many jobs out there for these players. So, yeah, there's a lot of things to look at, but no, I think you're going to win more than three games.
Let me throw this at you, Howard, because this is becoming the story now, and it's going to be the story the next few weeks until the league year starts, and they got to get under the cap. So they already have traded Carson. They're going to move on from Alshon. They're going to move on from some other guys here. You mentioned some names that could be gone. How much of a teardown do you think we're going to see? Yesterday on our website, Elliot wrote the idea of, like, maybe just tear the whole thing down. Like, everyone that has any trade value, basically trade them away and start this thing over. Do you think this is going to be significant, or are they just going to get rid of who they have to get under the cap? Guys like Alshon are going to be gone, like the obvious ones. Or do you think they're going to trade away, I mean, really all of the good players they have left there that are older?
What good players do they have that are older?
Well, Fletcher Cox.
Well, yeah, that would be interesting if somebody takes a shot on him at 30 years old. You know what? I might trade him away.
I would too. I just wonder how much they want to tear it down. Because
hard to trade him away. He's got such a big number.
But someone would take him.
Somebody would take him.
He's still a Pro Bowl player. He's not great anymore, but he's still really good. How about Brandon?
You know, Brandon's 33 years old, so I wonder what kind of value you would get for him. I think he's still got some gas in the tank, and I think he can be helpful for a team, but I don't think you're going to get a lot for him. But I'd hate to see them trade Brandon Graham because personally he's such a good guy and he works so hard and he's in there and he tries to help players that, you know, may have problems with different things going on with the team. I'd hate to see that happen, but that's really the right move. It's kind of disappointing, but players always leave. It's just, that's the thing with sports. You know, at some point, they're going to have to leave. Now, here's what you've got to look at. Will they be good enough? And will those guys still be productive when they're good enough?
That's a great question. Yeah, yeah. It's hard, Howard. I mean, maybe Fletcher could be.
But the answer is no.
Well, I mean, we don't know that. I mean, why can't this team 2 years from now, so not this coming season, but the one after, be a contender to make the playoffs again and be a good team? And that's not out of the realm. You think, how many years are they away from being a playoff team? I don't think it's 3 or 4 or 5. It could be 2.
I think, well, based on the division, if the Washington Redskins get a quarterback, that's problems.
It is.
Because their defense is really good.
And it's a good coach.
They've got a very good coach.
Good coach, yep. But they don't have a quarterback yet.
No, they don't have a quarterback. But if they stumble on a quarterback, that changes everything. But because of the division they're in, I'd say they got a chance in 2 years. But is Brandon Graham at 35 going to be the player? Is Fletcher Cox going to be the same player at 32?
Probably not. Well, you could throw Lane Johnson in there.
Lane Johnson.
Brandon Brooks. I know they're coming off injury, so I don't know what that would do to the trade value. But
yeah, wouldn't be good.
The same thing applies for everyone, though. I mean, if you have... I mean, a lot of these players in this team, we know it, are over the age of 30. It's part of the reason that this thing fell apart quickly.
Yep.
If they can get value, I wonder how big this teardown is going to be. I doubt it's going to just be Carson Wentz. Other guys are going to be out of here soon. Zach Ertz is probably out of here within days or weeks.
Yeah, he's and it's too bad. Everybody loves Zach Ertz. But I don't know what you get for him. I know you thought they would get like a third or fourth round pick. I don't think that's happening.
I didn't think get a four.
Not at his age, and he didn't have a good year, and he's been hurt the last couple of years. And that's what teams look at. You know, what do you have? Does Zach Ertz have two more years left? Do you trade a pick for two more years? And that's what you have to look at. Now, I wouldn't be opposed to a teardown is a strong phrase.
It is. And the Eagles, I mean, Howard, it's been a long time since the Eagles have had back-to-back or two or three years in a row of really bad football. I mean, they had, what, 7-9, 7-9, Chip's last year, Doug's first year. They went 4-12, Andy's last year. And they had a couple down years towards the end of Andy's time. But, I mean, this franchise has not had a lot of bad years in a row in decades. This doesn't happen around here anymore.
No, but the sooner you do this, the sooner you get back to being a better team. And that's what you have to look at. You just can't keep one hanging on because the pieces aren't good enough anymore to be there in two years. Those pieces aren't good enough. Is Lane Johnson going to be here in 2 years? Now, you're not going to get much for him because he's coming off an injury. Brandon Brooks, I think you can get something from Brandon Brooks, but you can't just completely rip apart that offensive line. When I look at things, yeah, when you start breaking it down, what players that you think are significant players are going to be good enough in 2 years?
So, well, that's why we're here, right? They don't have enough of those significant players. That's why we're having this conversation. If they had three or four or five building blocks of young Pro Bowl players, I think we'd be having a different conversation. They don't have any. I mean, who's the young player you feel best about on this roster right now?
Miles Sanders, but he's coming off injuries.
But he's a running back, right? Yeah. And like, I could say the same thing about him you said about the older guys. In 2 years, is he even the same player anymore? Sometimes running backs aren't.
Yeah, and running backs you can get in the draft in the third and fourth round.
Right.
What wide receivers? I don't know about Jalen Reagor.
Well, it was an unimpressive rookie year. Unimpressive.
No, I don't know about Jalen Reagor. So
I do know about Arthega Whiteside. He can't play. I know that already.
Not a little bit. What wide receivers do they have? Greg Ward is steady. That's fine. He's a steady player, but he's not a game breaker. I don't know, and they'll sign somebody for 1 or 2 years, and you know, just to try to stay somewhat competitive. But I don't have a problem with tearing it apart. When I say tearing it apart, that's dramatic, and kind of breaking it down. If they're honest with themselves, they know they're not a good team next year. They might be okay.
The last time the Eagles had back-to-back seasons winning less than six games, you know what it was?
Less than six games. It had to be in the 90s, right?
98, 99. So the last year, Ray Rose, and then Andy's first year. It has been a long time since they've... Like, this just makes me wonder how much they're going to tear it down because they don't really do this around here. I mean,
but they better start thinking about it.
I agree. I mean, when you reach that point, you have to think about what's the best for the long term. It doesn't happen. I just wonder how many guys are actually going to move on from that are still, you know, good players.
But this is the year to do it because you know you're not going to be good enough next year. And you know, whatever young players you have, if it's Jalen Hurts, you're going to have to develop them. You got to start building up a new team, and to build up, it's Humpty Dumpty. You got to tear it down to build it back up.
Yeah, and
again,
you need those draft picks, which they got a couple for Wentz, and we'll see what they get for these other guys. 215-592-9494. That's how you hop in as we talk about the Eagles and a teardown, which seems more likely by the day. We'll also get into some Sixers here. We'll see if Howard is ready to move Joel Embiid up his MVP rankings after a 50-point game on Friday night. That's coming up.
Wait. You missed the last game? Did you miss
the last
game?
I saw it. 25? Yeah,
he's not moving up. We'll talk about it.
Okay.
He's not moving up.
50 points on Friday. We'll talk about it. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 624 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. We're riding with the king here. Howard Askin is always brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge as we discuss a full teardown of the Philadelphia. Let's go to the phone lines here, Howard. Mad Mike at King of Prussia. He's been wanting one of these for a while. He wants a teardown. What's up, Mike?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, Mike. What's up?
So I read an article today actually talking about what you're talking about. And here's the thing. I think they should completely gut the entire team. Like, just take dead cap money on. Like, cut Brandon Graham, cut Fletcher Cox, cut Lane Johnson. Like, if I had my way, I would cut all of these guys, because I just can't. Telling me someone's going to come back from a collapsed ankle to play at a Pro Bowl level, I'm doubtful of. And a lot of these guys are on the wrong side of 30 for my liking. And if you're really going to make the team young again, I would just do it, because next year's, they kind of already written next year off by the way they're doing things. So I would just gut the entire team. But the thing that worried me is that the Eagles don't go all in. And I feel like they're going to restructure some of these contracts. And that restructuring got them into the trouble they got into with contracts and what happened with their salary cap. And I worry that they're going to do that again, because they're still too loyal to some of these players.
Howard, what do you think here?
Well, here's, you can't just get rid of everybody, because you've got to have somebody to play on the football team.
In the case of Fletcher Cox, like $24 million cap hit this year.
Let's deal with Lane Johnson. You're not going to get much for him. What team is going to give you, if you get a seventh round pick, you'd be lucky. So does it make any sense? And I don't care about the money this year, because you're not signing guys this year anyway.
Yeah, but what I'm saying is you're clearing up for the future. Like, this should be all about cleaning up and taking this year. Since you're not going to be competitive, you should just try to do everything to clean up your financial situation.
Yeah, but I don't know if you're cleaning up that much for the future with Lane Johnson.
Fletcher
Cox might be a different story. I don't have a problem. If they traded Fletcher Cox, I wouldn't have a problem with that.
Yeah, like a lot of these guys, like if you look at some of the salary cap hits that these guys have, like going forward, you got to really wonder if, like, versus what they're putting out on the field, if they're worth it anymore to this team. And sometimes I feel like the Eagles are just way too loyal to players that they're used to, and like they don't weigh the pros and cons of actually moving on.
Well, as far as Lane Johnson, his 4-year, $72 million extension hasn't even kicked in yet, Mike. It starts this year. So, like, they owe him a lot of money.
Yeah, so maybe Lane's not a good one, but Brandon Graham and Fletcher Cox, sorry, I've seen enough. You can just go. Like, it's time to go.
Mike, appreciate the call. Howard, he wants everyone out of here. Everyone.
It's got to make sense.
And here's why I question it. The Eagles don't do this. Like, I understand it might be time to do it, and I recognize that just like everyone else does, but you're also setting up your new coach for failure to start. Like, do they want to hand him the worst roster in the NFL? I don't think they do. I mean, I feel like they're going to try to thread the needle here, get rid of the obvious guys, make trades if there's some value there. But I don't think they're getting rid of everybody. I don't think they're going to.
No, I don't think they will either.
Let's use the word that we used to use for the Sixers all the time. I don't think the Eagles are about to tank a season. I mean, they might go 5-11 or 6-10 or whatever, but I don't think they're going to. I can't imagine they tank. They don't do that.
Well, if it makes sense to get rid of them, but if it just screws you up down the line with their cap, but I think Lane Johnson's great to have on a team. But if he's physically able to play, and that's what they have to weigh at this point. It's really, they tried, and they ended up winning the Super Bowl, and they tried to extend that, and it didn't work. It didn't work. But there's a point where you got to know when to hold them and know when to fold
them. Let me throw one more at you. There's a name we haven't mentioned yet tonight. Darius Slay, Howard. They traded a third and a fifth for him last year. I thought he was good. I did not think he was great. I did not think he was anything close to what he used to be in Detroit. I mean, when he was matched up against the best receivers in the NFL, they got the best of him. I mean, he was good, not great. Would you trade Darius Slay?
What are you going to get for him?
Well, he costs a 3 and a 5, so he's a year older now. You're probably not going to even get that back. Would you trade him for a fourth-round pick tomorrow?
Yeah, but who are you going to replace him with? You got to have somebody. I don't know that I would trade him, because you can get a 4, I would think about it. You know, the disappointment I had in Darius Slay, and we know he's a tough guy. He's had some injuries during the season, but nothing serious. The thing that disappoints me is he told, and I don't know if the defensive coordinator is going to accept that, I don't want any help. What do you mean you don't want any help? This is the way we play defense. And when you're playing the best receiver, there's times you need help. He didn't want help, and he got beat. So big play Slay. Did he have an interception this year?
One. It took a while to get that big play. No, I was waiting for the big play every week. I was like, where is big play Slay play? We didn't get it for a while.
Yeah, I mean, he's a tough guy and all that, but I think you got to keep somebody, because who are you going to have on the other side? You got to have something out there. So I'm probably not ready to get rid of him, because you've got to have something. But he's got to start listening to the coaches. If we're going to give you help, we're going to give you help. And if you don't like it, then you're not going to play. The coaches have to make the decision. I'm more apt to keep him than trade him.
Yeah, he's an interesting one because he's not quite as old as some of the other guys. And he was just valued just last year. 215-592-9494. All right.
There's not that many guys. There's not that many players you're going to get really good value for.
Well, I understand that. But something's better than nothing, right? If you're not going to win next year anyway, you can get a three or a four for some of these guys. I'll take a three or a four. Just add to the draft picks. We all know how he's not, you know, remarkable in the draft. You give him more shots, you know, more darts to throw at the dartboard. Maybe we start hitting something here because they need players.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
All right, Howard. Sixers will play tonight. We'll get to the game in a couple minutes. But let's just talk Joel for a second here. So a couple weeks ago on this station, we were debating Joel's MVP candidacy. And at that point, I said no. I would put LeBron over him. You jumped on that night as we were discussing it. And you had him pretty far down your list of MVP candidates. He continues to put in, I would say, at least 25 a night. I think it's for 14 straight games. He had the 50-point game Friday. He is having one of the best seasons of anybody in the NBA. Obviously, you know, an all-star starter. He's a tremendous player. Are you ready to move Joel Embiid up your MVP rankings? It's time, Howard.
Well, where would I move him to? He's no better than third.
No, he's got to be top two right now.
No, he's not.
Has to be.
He misses too many games.
Well, but he hasn't really missed a game, I don't believe, since the last time.
He's missed six games.
I understand.
LeBron and Jokic haven't missed a game yet. Not one game. And if you're valuable to your team, you're valuable out there every night. All this back stiffness nonsense. And I think it's nonsense. You know, go out there and play.
Well, yeah, but he has a bad back issue.
It's always around multiple games in a short period of days. I think it's BS. That's what I think. And to put him, you can debate Jokic. The problem with Jokic, and I've said this before, he plays in the Midwest, and a lot of people, because of the time zone, really don't get to see him enough. Here's the problem that I find with Joel, and he was exposed the other night. When you double him, and I'm going to take you back to the LA game, the Sixers probably should not have won that game, and they blew it. They would have blown it because they had a big lead. Because they doubled Joel at the end of the game, and they were lucky enough to get an offensive rebound. But when they double him, the Sixers don't have good enough shooters. So, but if you double Jokic, he can pass out of that double. Joel cannot pass the ball very well, and that's why he turns the ball over.
He's better at it, though. I think he's improved at that.
Better at it. What's better at it?
Well, he used to be more of a liability. I think he does it better now than he used to.
But he's not like Jokic. He doesn't have the court vision to make a pass when he gets doubled. Just throw it to a guy out at the three-point line if he does that. Now, when he gets doubled, they're exposed. And Toronto is now a better team, and they've played nobody. The teams they've played that were good, they lost to. They played nobody because when they played Toronto, they were awful at the beginning of the year. Boston and Miami were without their best players. So you haven't played Milwaukee yet.
Not yet. But Denver, look at Denver. Denver's 16-14. They're seventh in the West right now. You can't have an MVP on the seventh seed.
Why not? They're playing. But see, the thing is, they can win in the playoffs. That's a seventh seed can win in the playoffs.
Sure,
in the West.
It can. I mean, but when was the last time?
West is really good,
of course. But when was the last time an MVP came from a team that low in the standings? It doesn't happen in the NBA.
No, because you get the guys that score a lot of points on a good team, and there's always somebody. I think LeBron's going to win the MVP.
Probably.
And because he plays every game. But you see, without Anthony Davis, they're not the same team. But it's not because of him. So I'll give him credit in this regard. He plays every game. He's not taking games off where he has in the past. He's playing every game. And that is important. If you're valuable to your team, you get to the post every game. And we know Joel's going to miss games again. And there's times where he just looks like he's not into it. LeBron may have bad games, but it seems like he's still into it. Jokic may have, in terms of his numbers, may have a game that's not up to his level. But he's always, it seems, and again, there's only so many games you can watch with Denver, but it seems like he's into it. And Joel sometimes, he I saw him run back on the other team breaking, and he just, he's not that guy. He just is not that guy.
But now, less this year than ever before. I feel like he's more engaged.
Is he having a great year?
Great year. Absolutely. I mean, Howard, he's had 14 games in a row of at least 25 points. The only 7-foot players to ever do this. Like, it's pretty remarkable. The only guys ever at this size to do that are Wilt, Kareem, and Shaq.
Yeah, I mean, but you can't compare him to those guys because nobody plays defense. I love the way that ESPN ran a piece on posterizing players. It's hard to posterize anybody anymore because nobody defends you.
Yeah, they let you go. They let you go. They're just going to
let you go. Yeah. Before,
they don't happen as much as before.
Yeah, before they would defend. They would try to defend you when you went to the basket. Now nobody defends anybody.
Well, because no one wants to get the foul and come out of the game. Just to take the two free points.
It's not about the foul. They just let it go and just go back to the other end of the court. It's ridiculous. The game is changed so much. So when you're inside, you're going to get your points. And nobody defends you. I think that that the blueprint for playing the Sixers, then the Lakers had it, and now Toronto used it again the other night. They've got to hit shots. And I love when the Sixers say, well, we had open looks. Well, I don't care if you got to hit the shots then.
Well, I mean, it's a problem because I agree with what you said about, you know, they're going to double Joel. He's going to have to pass it out, and they don't have enough guys that can shoot. I mean, it's a math problem, Howard, for them. They don't make enough threes. Everyone in the NBA shoots threes. I think the Nets are up to like 17 made threes a game, and the Sixers are at 10. Like, if you're going into a game and you know, let's say they play the Nets in a playoff series, and you know the Nets are going to hit 17 threes in the game, and the Sixers are only going to hit 10, I mean, that's 21 points you're going to have to make up somewhere else. It's a problem. They need more shooting.
The Nets are doing it without their best players on the floor. It's unbelievable. But here's the other thing. When you look at these teams and you see what the Sixers are missing, would you rather have Harden right now or Ben Simmons?
Harden. I mean, yeah, Harden, of course. If they had Harden and Joel, they could win the whole thing.
Right, they could, because, you know, if Joel, you can't double him like you were doing, because then, okay, so then you stay with Harden, but you can't leave everybody open. And it's easier to get another shooter after that. It's just Harden has really adapted to his game, regardless of who. When somebody's not playing, he'll play a game where he scores. Those guys are playing, then he'll pass the ball. He is, I always knew he was a great player, but you never thought that he would adapt the way he's adapting.
Quickly. Yeah, I mean, he got there, yes. and he switched. Speaking of Harden, Howard, here.
I think it's LeBron, Jokic. You know, there's so many great players in the NBA. I wouldn't take anybody from the Clippers. You almost have to look at somebody from the Nets. The problem is they have too many players.
Yeah, they kind of split the vote.
Yeah, they kind of split the vote. So that's the
Durant's missed a lot of games. Durant's missed too many.
That's exactly right.
All right, Howard. Yeah. So speaking of Harden, and you mentioned Ben Simmons, the reserves are out for the Eastern Conference, Howard. We just got this announcement here. The reserves for the Eastern Conference for the All-Star game this year. Here's who makes this team. Obviously, we know Joel's going to start. The bench, James Harden, Julius Randle, Jason Tatum, Jaylen Brown, Zach LaVine, Ben Simmons, and Nikola Vucevic. So Ben Simmons, chalk up another All-Star game for your guy, Howard. Ben Simmons back to the All-Star game.
There's got to be somebody that's better than Ben Simmons right now.
All-Star.
Because his points are all 2 feet and in because nobody guards him. So he goes to the basket. In an All-Star game, they're looking for shooters. I don't think he's but again, I don't know. I haven't looked at what players didn't make it. But there'll be players that, like last year, it was a disgrace that he made it over Bradley Beal. An absolute insult to anybody that looks at the NBA and looks at what should be. Bradley Beal was the All-Star and not Ben Simmons.
Howard, I don't want to I don't know if you've thought about this or not, but I want to run it by you quick because I know how you feel about Ben. He has now made 3 All-Star teams. And how old is he now, 25 years old?
Yeah.
I mean, Howard, he's 24 years old. He's made 3 All-Star teams. He's on the path to the Hall of Fame. You know that, right?
No.
Listen, I'm not saying I would vote him in. I'm just – this is the history of pro basketball. If you make a bunch of All-Star teams, you go to the Hall of Fame.
once LeBron is gone, he stops making all-star teams because LeBron pushes him because LeBron's got ownership in the company that represents him.
We need a live Howard Eskin show, a remote broadcast from outside of the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame in Springfield the day Ben Simmons goes in, okay?
He's not going in. If he goes in, it's an insult to every other player.
I'm just saying he has three All-Star games by the time he's 24.
I don't care. But see, three All-Star games don't do it for me because it's a popularity contest.
Right, but think about the guys that make it in. They usually have 8, 9, 10 All-Star games. He's got three by 24. That's a lot.
Yeah, but what guys didn't make it? There's probably a list of the guys that didn't make it.
You know, we can look up. We'll try to find the guys in the NBA history that have the most All-Star games without making it.
This year. Who? Ben Simmons wasn't an All-Star.
So you want the guys that he got in over?
Yes.
Okay, we'll look that up. 215-592-9494. We'll come back. We got a lot to get into here. Some Philly stuff, and we'll touch on the sad news. Hopefully not tragic news, but sad news about Tiger Woods today with the car accident. That's coming up. 215-592-9494 on Sports Radio 94 WIP. 646 Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Howard Eskin with us. Riding with the King. As always, brought to you by Xfinity Philadelphia's fastest internet and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lounge. As Howard's guy, Ben Simmons, makes the Eastern Conference All-Star team. Howard, I found a snub for you.
Go ahead.
Ben Simmons made the All-Star game over Trae Young of the Atlanta Hawks, who's averaging 26.9 points per game. Yes, Simmons in over Trae Young.
Now, do you agree with that?
It reminds me of last year a little bit with the Bradley Beal thing. I think Beal was averaging.
Trae Young. Trae Young shoots from 40 feet, and that's what an All-Star game is.
Yeah, I like Trae Young. It reminds me of last year with Beal because Beal was averaging about 27, 28, whatever it was, and
wow,
we had this discussion.
That's because that's the LeBron effect. Because Trae Young's in Atlanta, so he never gets the hype. Philadelphia, it's always about, Ben Simmons can do this, and Ben Simmons is a generational, and he's a lockdown defender. And all. He's not a lockdown defender. He's good defensively. I see him, he gets sloppy on switches. He's living on that, everybody telling him how great he is defensively. Trae Young should be on the All-Star team. That's what people want to see. That's a disgrace.
They didn't take you into account, Howard. They didn't. You're not part of the voting process here.
That's a disgrace. First of all, I'll ask you, do you think who right now would you rather have on your team, Brandon Ingram or Ben Simmons?
I do like Brandon Ingram.
Boy, what a player.
He's a very good player. Though I have to give Ben credit here. He has played – it feels like something's moving in the right direction here, Howard. He's been more aggressive of late. I mean, I agree with you on a lot of the Ben stuff. He needs to shoot. We all know that. I feel like this is a better version of Ben Simmons now than we've seen before. He's getting better.
Well, because he's just going to the basket because nobody
defends
anymore.
But listen, he had, 13 free throw attempts last week against Utah? I'll take that. Like, at least he's doing something.
Okay, but when teams start to not cover him and close down the lane, and you I know you can't get it out of your mind, when he's right in front of the foul line.
I know. It drives
and Miami backed up and he didn't even take an open shot. How can you be in the Hall of Fame when in your career you'll have played more years than jump shots beyond 6 feet?
Well, that's a great question. That should be part of the Hall of Fame discourse. I'm just telling you that
if
he makes 8 or 10 of these All-Star games, he's going to be in the Hall of Fame discussion. That's just the way it works.
It's a disgrace.
They
it's
all
disgrace.
Make the Hall of Fame in basketball. You know that.
Well, Brandon Graham is a better player, and because he plays in the West, he's not going to be chosen for that team.
Brandon Ingram. All right, what to watch for here? Sponsored by Xfinity, the fast internet in Philadelphia, and the sponsor of our Xfinity X1 Lunch. All right, Howard, I want to end tonight on the WIP Awards, but I just want your quick thoughts. We've been hearing some of the Zooms. I'm sure you've been on them. Philly's spring training has started. Bryce Harper arrived, and he had a bat with the Fanatic on it. What's your big take? Of all the things you've heard so far, is it the Odubel stuff? I know you were frustrated about that, because Girardi yesterday sounded like he is, or this morning with Angelo, pretty open to the idea of Odubel making this team. The one thing, Howard, that stood out to me is Bryce Harper, a couple days ago, Girardi acknowledged that they're going to maybe go a little slow with him here to start this camp off. I mean, he had that back issue last year, and I'm a little concerned that back is not It's not great. Like, I don't know. I don't think he's currently injured, but that they're concerned enough that they're going to take it a little easy on him in spring training.
Well, early in the year, because now you go from 60 games last year?
Yeah, to 162.
162. So I can see where you do it. And, you know, now you realize you don't need 162 games to make a run for the playoffs. So I get that. I mean, I heard Girardi today, and, you know, Bryce is into his routine and doing great. And I'm telling, when you listen to Joe Girardi, and I like Joe, it's like happy hour. It's like everything's great. Oh, this guy had a great bullpen session. That guy had a great bullpen session. Oh, he had a great bullpen session. He had a great bullpen session.
Well, if all these sessions are good, I expect the bullpen ERA to be closer to 4, not 7 this year.
Yeah, right. So there's still... you know, pitching is the great equalizer, and I don't know about their pitching after 3, because I don't know about Spencer Howard. You know, he only pitched, I don't know how many innings last year. What's 70 innings?
No, so I think less than that. I think he pitched 20 something. He didn't pitch enough.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, he barely pitched. Yeah. Okay. And the year before, he pitched less than 100. I mean, he hasn't built his arm.
That was year before.
Right.
Yeah. So I don't know about that. So you need a fourth and fifth starter. So you're not sure there. The bullpen, they signed a whole bunch of guys, which, by the way, they can get rid of before the season starts, and it not cost them a whole lot. They're not locked into those contracts. So they'll score some runs, but their defense is still their defense. You know, they have their top 3 starters are ground ball pitchers, and they have one of the worst defensive infields in the National League.
Not a great combination.
Right, yeah, it's not a great combination. So they're good, but are they good? They're not a World Series team. You look at the and their over-under is like 81 for games. Now, that doesn't mean anything, because you can still surpass that and be good enough. But their odds on, I think, getting to the World Series are like 2,200 to one or something. Like, it's like plus 2,200. So they're okay. They're okay, but there's going to have to be somebody that surprises you, and Kingery's going to be one of them. You know, this Odubel thing, it's just Rhys Hoskins yesterday kind of laid it out. He says, I don't know about everybody, and he's a guy that's honest. Mm-hmm. Old Joe Girardi says, well, it's in the players' agreement that you have to let him, you can't cut him for that, which I think is a disgrace by the Players Association. I have zero tolerance with that. But and you know what? He wasn't that good before he turned into – people started to figure him out in the way
they
pitch him.
Yeah, you're right. If this had happened in 2016 or 2017, and I understand your point about zero tolerance, but it's a different conversation for the Phillies, because at that point he was – you know, he was playing well. But you're right. The last year and a half, he was bad. He wasn't even a good player anymore.
So if he's on the team, where does Scott Kingery play?
I don't know. Howard, this feels like make or break for Scott Kingery. I mean, like, yes. At some point – he's either a player or he's not a player, because every year there's a new excuse. And I understand last year he had COVID, and obviously we're all happy that he got over it and he's healthy again. But at some point, like, you got to either you can play or you can't. And it's been years now, and he hasn't proven he can play.
You know what? And what he did is he lost weight because he bulked up trying to hit home runs.
He was too big last year.
Yeah,
so
he's too big. He should stop trying to hit home runs and
launch angle. Howard, come on.
You know, everybody's trying to work on things to make the game more exciting. I don't want to see Scott Kingery swinging for home runs. That doesn't make. And at least, you know, Girardi acknowledged that going from first to third is exciting. Triples are exciting. Stolen bases are exciting. Now, whether they do them or not, you know, when you get into a game and you use all that nonsense that with analytics, if you're going to make the game more exciting, you got to do a lot of those things. But Scott Kingery's got to be your center fielder. And you're still going to have Roman Quinn and Hazley somewhere in that mix. So I don't know where Odubel Herrera fits. And he's not on the major league roster. He's still in minor league camp,
right,
whatever that means. So I everybody brings it up, and Joe Girardi doesn't want to diss him. If anybody wanted him, they could have traded. Well, I'm sure they tried to trade him, and nobody wanted him. So for a lot of reasons, even to take him for nothing. Why take a player for nothing? You don't have to. And the Phillies would have probably paid the contract, because they have to pay it anyway. But this is the last year. I don't think it makes any sense to put him on the team. Scott Kingery's got to be your center fielder. And if he's not, then they got problems.
Yeah, there is a problem. All right, Howard, we'll end with this. So the 94 WIP Awards are going on. The Levi's, which we had talked about a couple weeks ago, and we're unveiling.
I love it.
We're unveiling three of these awards every day. So we had the six so far that have been unveiled. But the next one that we're going to hear, 7:45 tomorrow morning with Angelo, I'm curious to get your answer on this, how you would vote. So tomorrow, the first one Angelo will unveil is the best executive of the 2000s. And the finalists were Joe Banner, Pat Gillick, Sam Hinkie, Howie Roseman, and Ed Wade. Howard, who would you vote for?
Well, I'd probably vote for Pat Gillick.
And I think he's going to win, but he was only here 3 years. He was only their GM for three years, 06, 07, 08.
Well, you know who's second?
Howie.
No.
Howie won the Super Bowl.
No. Ed Wade.
Howie's a better executive than come on. Howie's better than Ed
Wade. He's the one that set these Phillies up for the early 2000s with all those players.
Howie won the Super Bowl.
Yeah, but that's 1 year. You told me Pat Gillick was only here 3 years.
Right.
You're going to say Howie's going to win the executive.
No, he's not. Pat Gillick's going to win the vote.
You know, maybe I'll talk about that tomorrow. I'm on with Angelo tomorrow at 7.
So you would vote Ed Wade? Or you vote Gillick,
second.
Then Wade. Okay.
Pat Gillick would be first. And then I would take it. I would even. Ruben Amara's not in there, is he?
No, I'm surprised you didn't vote Hinkie number one.
Scam Hinkie?
Yes.
No.
Did a good job.
That was the biggest insult to Philadelphia sports. The biggest insult. Insulting.
All right, Howard. We'll talk on Thursday. All right, you have a good night.
All right, you too. Stay safe.
Howard Eskin, 215-592-9494 to hop in. We'll touch on a lot coming up on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.